Well, today we are starting up a brand new four-week series called Stop. And in this series, we're going to look at four different things we should stop doing. Next week, we're going to be talking about stop complaining. The week after, we're going to be talking about stop living in fear. And to wrap up the series, we're going to talk about stop comparing. But today, we're starting with stop making excuses. Stop making excuses. We're all guilty of making excuses. I'd love to help out, but I wish I could attend, but I'd love to go, but I wish I could do more, but I'd love to give more, but it's the buts that are getting in the way of our good intentions. What if I were to ask you this question? What would you like to change in your life right now? What's the one thing? The one thing, if you could snap your fingers and have it right now, what would it be? What would it be? Maybe it's getting rid of some extra poundage that you've collected over the years. Maybe it's the amount in your bank account, or maybe it's your grades at school. You'd like to have better grades. Maybe you'd like to change those. Maybe it's your occupation. You kind of feel stuck in a rut. Maybe it's your marital status. Maybe you're single and you wish you had a spouse. And maybe for those that are married, maybe it's your spouse that you would like to experience some change. Not that you're changing your spouse, that you would like them to change, right? Or maybe it's having more time or more discipline. Maybe you wish you could be in a warmer climate. And for those listeners online that are down south of the border, we love you with all of our hearts. And maybe the only thing you want to change right now is the temperature on your thermostat of your AC. But maybe for you, it's a spiritual discipline today, like reading your Bible regularly, or maybe journaling more, memorizing scripture. Maybe you want to pray more. Maybe you've never fasted and you'd like to try fasting and prayer, right? What's the one thing, if you could change it right now, right here on the spot, what's the one thing you'd like to change? But here's what's happened. Here's what happens. When I decide to make a change, excuses tempt me to remain the same. Let me say that again. When I decide to make a change, excuses tempt me to remain the same. It's like fighting gravity. As soon as I make a decision to change something in my life, like a flood, there's all these reasons why it's really not worth it in the end. And before I even get started, right, I end up disqualifying myself. When I decide to make a change, excuses tempt me to remain the same. Now, Jesus told a story that's recorded back in the book of Luke, chapter 14. And it's, in many ways, it captures the same problem here. And this is what he said at the beginning at verse 16 of verse 14. He says, a certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. Verse 17, at the time of the banquet, he sent out his servant to tell all of those who had been invited, come, for everything is ready. But they all alike began to make what? Excuses. The first one said, I have just bought a field and I must go see it. Please excuse me. Another said, I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. Like, do you try out oxen like a brand new car? Like, I don't know. I've never owned oxen in my life. But, and then still another said, I just got married, so I can't come. Okay, maybe that's a good excuse, all right? I could see that, right? And immediately upon the invitation, the excuses kept rolling in, excuse after excuse after excuse. But isn't that how it seems to be when it comes to making changes in our own lives? The excuses roll in. I really want to change this specific thing in my life, but... And the excuses roll off your tongue, most of which are either fed by our insecurities or inabilities or just the lack of motivation that we have to see change happen. Case in point, anybody here make a New Year's resolution, right? All right, did you know? And well, let me ask you, and are you still holding on to that New Year's resolution? Because here's the fact. Statistically, only 25% of people actually stay committed to their resolutions after just 30 days. That's just 30 days. And only a meager 8% will actually stay committed to seeing their resolutions through. Let me say this. Sometimes we set a goal in our life, but what happens is we don't imagine after the goal, right? Some of us are just so worried, and I'm just going to use weight because I battle with weight myself. I know it's hard to see that, you know, looking at me. I know that I'm a perfectly chiseled homo sapien here, but listen, I battle with weight because I love food, right? If food just didn't taste so good. But let me say this. If you don't have a plan for after you shed those pounds, chances are you're going to gain them back and then some, right? Don't make the goal to lose pounds, right? Go beyond that, because when I decide to make a change, excuses tempt me to remain the same. You see, we've got these good intentions, but we just can't seem to break the barrier for some reason. But could it be that these good intentions are not God intentions? And could it be that these good intentions we set for ourselves are not achievable on our own strength? Because there is a huge difference between good intentions and God intentions. Good intentions are me-centered. This is what I want to change about me and in my life only. God intentions, though, are God-centered. They're beyond me. This is what God wants to change in my life, and these are God's intentions. Instead of being based on my own abilities, my strength, my resolve, my willpower, they cause me to be reliant on His strength, His power, right? My intent here this morning is to help us all stop making excuses by asking ourselves a couple of questions. Instead of asking, what do I want to change in my life? Ask, what does God want to change in my life? What does God want to change in my life? What does God, the creator of all things in the universe and beyond, who knit me together in my mother's womb and loves me so much that he gave his one and only son to die for all of us and is rumored to have a great and wonderful plans for our lives, according to the book of Jeremiah 29:11, what does he want for our lives? What does he want for our lives? What does he want to change in our lives? What I'd love for you to do is some homework this week. Yep, your pastor's assigning homework. Who thought, right? Great. We went to school all week and now the pastor's giving us homework. But this is what I want you to do with your homework, is to prayerfully consider and meditate on this question this week. What does God want to change in my life? And I challenge you to write it down. When it comes to mind, what God wants may be the very same thing that you want. But when you attribute the idea to God rather than yourself, it's going to be a game changer on how you approach it. Forget about what I want and focus in on what God wants. After all, if he is the creator of all things, including you and I, and you would think that he would know best for us and he would know what is needed. I'm sorry, Disney, but mother does not know best. Sorry, folks, a little bit tangled there in my thoughts here this morning. But seriously now, maybe God has been stirring something in your heart, but maybe you've been making excuse after excuse after excuse, disqualifying yourself from the equation. But God, through his Holy Spirit at work in you, is tugging on your inner soul. Maybe he's nudging you to join a life group. Maybe he's nudging you to join a serving team at the church. Maybe he's nudging you to be more generous in your giving. Maybe he's nudging you to get rid of an offense that you've been carrying for so long. Maybe he's nudging you to speak prophetically into someone's life. Maybe he's nudging you, like our friend Daryl, to share Jesus with your hairdresser, right? Maybe he's nudging you to talk about Jesus with your classmate, colleague, neighbor, family member. Maybe he's just nudging you to start up even a new ministry. Remember, when I decide to make a change, excuses tempt me to remain the same. What excuses are holding you back? Maybe you're scared to ask this question because you're worried he's going to want you to change something in your life that you really don't want to address at this point, right? And so you avoid it like the plague. Listen, you can only avoid it for so long. Rather, address the change God wants to make in your life now while you still have a choice, instead of waiting until your life unravels and there's no choice left to make. You are forced into it under obligation. Otherwise, it could mean even more harm in your life. Allow God's Holy Spirit to do a spiritual MRI on you. And when and what he brings to mind, don't let excuses rob you of the opportunity to change. Because after all, when I decide to make a change, excuses tempt me to remain the same. And then ask this: why does God want this change in my life? Why does God want this change in my life? Why does God want this area of my life to be different? Why? Because when we connect the spiritual why with the what, there's power and motivation to accomplish the what. Let's unpack this for a moment. Let's say God wants to take you, wants you to take care, better care of your body, eating and exercise habits. I mean, honestly, who wouldn't mind shedding a few pounds with me this morning? According to research done in 2017 by the Public Health Agency of Canada, 64% of Canadian adults over 18 and 60% of children ages 5 to 17 are overweight. That's huge, right? No pun intended, sorry. So if that's a change that God wants to be making in your life, he's given you the what, but now it's time to ask him why. Okay, why, God, is this so important to you? I mean, I know why it's important for me, but why is it important for you? See, if your only answer to lose weight is so you can look good and feel better about yourself, you may just run out of steam along the way. But what if his motivation was this? What if God wants us to have more discipline in our lives by taking care of our bodies, making wise eating choices, or developing good exercise habits? Because it will be the first step to developing more discipline in our lives. What better place than to start with our bodies, which is referred to as the temple of the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? Right? See what we've done right there? We've connected the why to the what. Now we have greater motivation to take care of our bodies instead of just losing weight and looking good and feeling better about ourselves. I have a colleague in ministry who was diagnosed with diabetes. And the doc told this individual that if they changed their diet immediately and monitored their sugar intake, they could avoid using supplement insulin. And that's what my colleague did. They changed their eating habits. They connected the why to the what, and by doing that, it gave him the motivation to follow it through. And so he made a change in his life. When we connect the why with the what, it changes things for us. So maybe you're here today and you heard about a ministry that could really use more people on the leadership team in order for it to run smoothly, like Kingdom Kids or Kids Club or Women's Ministry. And there's a bit of a nudge in your heart. Or maybe God wants you to lead a life group. That's the what. But what's happened many times is we make excuse after excuse of why we can't do it. I don't have the time. My schedule doesn't permit. Or I don't even like kids, and kids don't like me. I'm not a patient person, right? Or I'm not spiritual enough to lead a group or head up a ministry. We write ourselves off. We disqualify ourselves completely and remove ourselves from the equation. Let me tell you a little story. See, years ago at Abundant Life, when I was the youth pastor, well, my title was assistant pastor, but I always like putting youth in front of it, because whenever you put youth in front of pastor, it seemed like you could get away with a little bit more and stuff, and they just realize you were a little immature, and you know, and that was just expected. Now that you put lead in front of pastor, it's like, oh, now the expectations go up to here, you know what I'm saying? So anyways, here I am, and the assistant pastor, and you know, largely of my portfolio was youth, and then I also looked after children's, right? Jesse, something for you to aspire to, baby. All right. And so anyways, I was looking at recruiting some people, and we had this retired school teacher in our church, and I kind of went up to her one day and said, "Hey, would you like to help us in our children's ministry department?" And she's like, "Oh, wow, like you mean me? Little old me?" And I said, "Yeah, you." And she's like, "Oh, I could never do that. I don't know the Bible very well." Hey, that's okay. That's okay. I got a great area of ministry in our children's ministry. In fact, it will help you know your Bible more. It's the scripture memory and the object lesson. You can do that. It's like, oh, okay. But, you know, in the wintertime, I really like to curl. Hey, that's no problem. That's no problem. We'll work closely with your schedule and we'll make the adjustments. She's like, "Oh, really?" And she was trying to downplay, really, her curling, because making it sound like, "Oh, that doesn't sound very spiritual that I'm going to miss church." I said, "Hey, listen, why don't you look at curling as a different way? You're taking ministry on the road with you, because wherever you go, the Holy Spirit goes with you, right? And you're taking God into a different space that abundant life isn't. Or in this case, it's like to an ice surface, right? And you can minister there. So that's cool too." So we worked, and she's like, okay. And a year afterwards, after she had helped out, now I don't know if she just felt the call of God on her life or she just couldn't say no to me. I don't know. But what happened is a year later, we went and we reevaluated everything. And I said to her, "So what did you think?" And she said, "Wow, I learned so much." She says, "I learned so much from Pastor Jake when he preached and all that." But she said, "I learned so much from the Bible, from teaching the Bible." And she said, "Wow." She says, "Sign me up for next year." Well, the person that I'm talking to is Teresa Yusakis. And she's been our kids' church, now Kingdom Kids director, for the last 8+ years. Isn't it amazing how God can use little old me, right? He can use me. Now listen, our children's ministry could use little old you, right? They could use you. I'll tell you something, men, I want to tell you something. This is going to feel like a bit of an ouch, but historically in the church, we've never allowed women to sit on a board position because women don't belong there. But we'll stick them downstairs and influence the most incredible, influential generation ever, and to teach our kids the Bible. That's an important role. I'm glad that that's not our church, that our church actually empowers women to lead. And historically, our fellowship has empowered women to lead and be in leadership. And I want to just tell you something. The children could use a man present downstairs. The presence of a man. And that's why we do things like Man Takeover Sunday at Kingdom Kids. Why? Because I tell you, those kids, they just need, there's something about the presence of a man. Even if you're just a helper, just you in the room, you bring such a presence with you. So men, I want to challenge you. Don't disqualify yourself. You might be like, "I don't have patience." Listen, if you got kids of your own, you're qualified. If you got grandkids, you're more than qualified because you're doubly blessed and doubly experienced. Because I'll tell you, it's amazing when we serve these kids. It's amazing when we serve these kids. And I tell you, God will continue to deposit more spiritual maturity into your life as we move out in those little nudges and be obedient to those nudges of ministry. See, the what was that we needed more leaders at our kids' church. The why, well, look at Terry or Teresa now. She's a leader of leaders. That's what God wants. He loves us too much to leave us at where we're at. He wants to grow us. And sometimes we don't grow. I don't know. It's always been my experience. I don't grow if I'm not doing something that I'm unqualified to do, right? I grow when I step out in faith and say, "Okay, God, use me because I have no idea what I'm doing," right? That's how we grow. That's how we grow, right? So we got to stop making excuses It's time to connect the why with the what. Because when I decide to make a change, excuses tempt me to remain the same. What area of your life is God wanting to make a change? Stop making excuses and connect that what, why with the what. In the Old Testament portion of the Bible, there's a great example of a guy who makes excuses when God calls him to do something that is way beyond him. It's found in the book of Exodus, and Exodus is the second book of the Bible. There's Genesis, Exodus, right? And this man that I'm referring to is Moses. Now, if you're unfamiliar with Moses in the Bible, Moses is the guy who led the nation of Israel out of captivity from Egypt. Yeah, he was the plagues guy, right? And he parted the Red Sea, and he was the one that went up the mountain and got the Ten Commandments and from God himself and gave them to every follower of God since that time and onward. Right? And so let's back it up a little bit in Exodus chapter 3. Here God is having a conversation with Moses, instructing him to go and deliver the nation of Israel out of captivity in Egypt. And so God is commissioning him to go. And this is how the conversation that starts in chapter 3 of Exodus, but then continues into chapter 4, verse 1. And this is how Moses answered in verse 1. What if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, and then Moses goes on and in verse 10, he says, oh Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue. Moses is giving God his resume of excuses, trying to convince God that he's got the wrong guy, right? Have you ever done that with God? You've had a conversation with God, say, no, I'm not the right person. God, use somebody a little more qualified. Somebody who's got more experience, somebody who's been a Christian longer, who's a saint. I could actually give you a list of those people. I'm sure you knocked on the wrong door, God. And so Moses, he's trying to convince God that he's got the right guy or wrong guy. And rightly so, Moses compared to Pharaoh, like he's got to go and talk to Pharaoh. Like, wow, if you read the full story of Moses, you'll find that miraculously he was adopted and infused into Pharaoh's home. He rose up through the Egyptian ranks and realized his true identity, that he was actually a Hebrew slave, right? He was a child of Israel. And then he saw some injustice going on. And this is what happens when sometimes we go in on our own strength. He goes and murders this Egyptian soldier who's beating almost to death these Hebrew slaves, and he ends up killing this guy and then trying to bury him in the sand, and you know, all of a sudden he's having to run from his life from Egypt because to escape the death penalty, and that's just kind of a reflection of Moses' life without God's power. He was a coward, and when the heat got turned up, he bolted. But here's the thing: when God calls us, he doesn't look at our personal abilities, talents, and strengths. He doesn't look at our resume of accomplishments. He looks at what his power can and will accomplish in us and through us. And when he calls us out of our comfort zone to do something that's so way beyond us, don't you think he's kind of got it all figured out? I mean, think about this for a moment. God, right, who knitted us together in our wombs, right? He's calling us. And God, right, he's not calling us to go without his help. No, he's calling us to go with his help. Why? Because if we could accomplish the task without God, why would we need God? Really? Have you ever thought about that? God, that's just too impossible. Absolutely. Why is it impossible? Because all things are possible with God. It'll be impossible on your own, but with God, it won't be impossible. Here's what God said to Moses in Exodus 4:11. The Lord said to him, "Who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Wow, mic drop. Basically, God's telling Moses, stop making excuses. I'm not calling someone more qualified than you. I'm calling you. I have chosen you. Don't make, I don't make mistakes ever. I've never knocked on the wrong door, ever. And you're right, this task is way beyond you, but because I've called you, I will equip you with everything that you need to get it done. So stop making excuses. Jeremiah 32:27 says, I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is anything too hard for me? So stop making excuses. Acknowledge the change that God wants to make in our life and connect the why to the what. Do you lack patience with your kids? Great. One of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is patience and self-control in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 to 23. And when you gave your life to Jesus Christ, guess what was deposited into your life? The Holy Spirit, right? It's time to activate the Holy Spirit in your life. God has given you everything you need to develop patience, even your own children. Why do you think he gave you children? To develop patience in your life and self-control. How do you grow patience in your life? By having to put it into practice. Do you lack wisdom? Great. God says, ask for wisdom from him and he'll give it to you. What? Generously. He will give it to you generously. What you need, God's got it, period. Stop making excuses, because no excuse is going to change God's mind. He's called you for a reason, for a specific purpose at such a time as this, to accomplish his will on earth as it is in heaven. He's called you. It's time to stop making excuses. God goes on to say to Moses in verse 12, he says, now go. I will help you speak and will teach you what to say. God says to Moses, and he's saying this to us today, do what you can do, and I'll do the rest. Now go. And for those that really love one-liners, do your best, and God will do the rest. Do your best, and God will do the rest. No more excuses, no more delays. Someone once said, delayed obedience is still disobedience. If God has called you, then it's up to you to go and to do. I've had countless conversations with people coming up with saying, Pastor, we should really do this or that. Our church really needs to do this. Our church needs to do this. Can I just confess to you for a moment? Those conversations used to really irk me. Really irk me, because they were trying to unload to me what God had deposited into them. Right? It wasn't my idea. And so when I'm hearing this idea, I'll tell you what happens in my mind. I'm calculating. You know, on the GPS, recalculating. I'm calculating. Okay, what's this going to cost me in time? What's this going to cost me in energy? What's this going to cost me in resources? Like, holy smokes, I'm busy as it is. Right? And so it really used to irk me because, well, you had this idea, and why are you trying to unload it onto me? Now listen, I learned to turn the conversation around. So I came up with a prepared statement. And this is what it is. When they say, Pastor, you should really do that. We really should do that. I say this, that's a wonderful idea. When do you want to get started? When do you want to get started? And then I turn around and say, and what resources can we give you to get started? Well, Pastor, no, when do you go? Because God has revealed this to you. You see a need. God has called you. He knocked on your door, not mine. So try, stop putting God on your my name on God's list, because he hasn't called me. Now listen, there are some times where ideas get shared and they do resonate with my soul, and I'm like, you're absolutely right. Let's get on it. And then I get into and we start equipping a team. We start figuring out how we can do this, and we plan and we go for it, right? There are times when those ideas resonate with my soul, and I don't mind people bouncing ideas off of me. That's great. Let's talk them through. Let's figure it out, right? But don't come to me and say, okay, this is what God told me. There you go. Go do it, Pastor. Listen, you know what my job is? You know, if you look at Pastor, you know what my job is? Is to equip all of you to do the work of the gospel. Do the work. My job is to equip you, right? And to help you and to resource you. But I tell you, I love it. I love it when people catch the vision and they come up to me and they say, hey, Pastor, I really feel that God's wanting us to do this. And I just don't even know where to begin. Hey, awesome. Let's sit down. Let's map it out. Let's see who we can get on board with that. And let's press forward together, right? Because it's you that God has chosen to follow it through. Do what you can. It's that simple. Do what you can do. The Lord wants to change something in you. So be obedient and go and do what you can do. Will you commit to that, to go and do what you can do? And before you start rolling out any excuses, say this: I will trust God to do what I cannot do. I will trust God to help me and to teach me to do it. Two things, let me say it again. I will trust God to do what I cannot do. And then I will trust God to help me and teach me to do it. Back in the summer of 2013, when Melanie and I felt the call to come back here and be lead pastors at Abundant Life, we were terrified. Absolutely terrified. And God uses different things in your life. And, you know, we had spoken to godly people. Can I be honest just for a second? Is that okay? You can handle a little bit of pastoral honesty here this morning. In the spring of 2013, honesty check here, I was ready to quit the ministry. I was ready to quit because I was so frustrated and I was so out of sorts, and I felt like I wasn't doing the work that God had called me to do. And I was working for a great church. I was working for a great pastor, but I was fighting these feelings of dissatisfaction and lack of purpose. And it was weird because we were at a great church with a great pastor and a great team. And I remember we had come out to do a wedding in February that year. And it was like an outdoor wedding. Like, who does that in February? John and Chantel Phillips, of course. And we had, I think we had just done the rehearsal outdoors, and it was freezing cold. And then we had contacted Pastor Jim Poirier. He was the superintendent at the time. And I said, Jim, we really need to chat. So he met us for coffee in his office at Starbucks. Right, Saint Arbucks, if you're wondering. Anyway, so we're there in his office, and so he starts asking me some questions, some very direct and pointed questions. And he said, James, this is what I see. And he drew this, I think, on a napkin. He drew a square and he drew a circle on it, inside it, and he said, this is the problem, James. And the circle he purposely drew outside the box of the square, outside of it, on purpose. He said, James, you're trying to fit a mold that you were never cut for. He said, why are you trying to deny the call of being the number one in a church and always trying to underwrite yourself and being number two? He says, you're running from responsibility. That's what you're running. You're running from what God has called you to. And I was like, oh boy. Because back up a little bit, when we were looking at leaving Abundant Life, we were looking for another youth position or another assistant position. And Jim and Andrew and countless others spoke into my life and said, James, why don't you take on a church? Why don't you be the lead pastor? I really see that you can do this. And I'm like, no, I don't want that responsibility. I don't want that because I've worked for too many pastors that I see the shots that they take. And I don't want that. I don't want that responsibility at all. So I ran. So like Moses, I ran into my exile, spent some time wandering, and I used my spiritual gifts in a great way. I would set up chairs in an auditorium for about 600 or 700 people. I'd have to make them straight, and then I'd have to tar a roof, and then I'd have to make sure the walls got repaired. That's what I did as an associate pastor, right? Like, so I'm doing all this work stuff, and I'm not really feeling used to, but that's what happens when you are running from your calling, is you kind of just get into a rut, if you were to talk to Moses, I don't think Moses wanted to be a shepherd, looking after sheep in the desert. I mean, he was so bored that he actually thought he saw a burning bush. Is that what? No, he actually did, right? You see, this is that when God calls you. So we took up a step in faith. See, we stepped down from LGF when we didn't even know really if this church would have us back. All we knew is that Pastor Jake was going into retirement. We thought, wow, that's kind of interesting that he's making this shift and we're kind of going through these feelings right now. We're kind of all wondering, like, would Abundant Life be brain dead enough to have us come back? What's the worst could happen? But I'll tell you, God started putting this piece together, that puzzle piece, and that puzzle piece, and that puzzle piece, even to the point where our daughter came home from school one day and had a picture of a yellow house and said, yeah, that's going to be our new house. She didn't even know. She kind of got the idea that we were moving, but she had no idea that we were looking at a yellow house in Lactobani. In fact, we bought the yellow house in Lactobani, right? And I remember when we went around looking at houses, Hannah was so upset. She's like, Dad, we already know which house we're going to buy. Why are we looking at these other houses? She said, I'm not even going inside to check this out. Because I know we're going to get the yellow house. But listen to this. Melanie and I were terrified. And we lived by a little bit of a motto. Our motto was do it scared. Do it scared. And I was thinking, Lord, I'm so unqualified to do this. And God was like, yeah, you're right. But it's your experience. But it's not your experience. It's not your abilities. It's not the qualities that you bring to the table that qualifies you. It's I, the Lord, who qualify you. And I have called you to go. Now, go. We've been here 5+ years. But I'll tell you, when we decide to make a change, excuses tempt us to remain the same. There's that pull. So it's time, people, to stop making excuses and connect the why to the what. Amen? Let's pray. I'll call the worship team to close us off in a song of worship this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, that your word this morning will not return void in our hearts. And Lord, that you give us real life examples to follow in Scripture that we can glean from and learn from. And Lord, if we were to really take a look at some of these stories in the Bible that are actual factual stories, we would see some similarities between them and us. Moses was a stutterer. He wasn't eloquent with his speech. And even at first, when he went before Pharaoh, he had Aaron speak for him. But then something changed. And Moses started to be the guy speaking directly. See, you called him to go and do, and he eventually lived out what he was called to do. And so, Father, I pray that each and every one of us here,
that, Lord God, that we stop disqualifying ourselves. Maybe it's the age bracket of life that we're in, and we're thinking, well, I've kind of done my bit. Lord, that you would show us that there's more. Show us that there's more. God, maybe you've called us into something that's important. It might not be a spotlight ministry or something that's highly, you can put it in lights and flash it on a board, but maybe it's just speaking into a life of a new believer. Maybe it's just as awesome as that. And mentoring somebody to live out the fullness in Christ. God, maybe you've called us to prayer. And not just, Lord, I pray that you be with them, but travailing for people in prayer. May you've called us, Lord, to be generous and to sow into somebody's life financially. Maybe you've called us, Lord, to maybe be on a serving team or even head up a ministry, whatever it be. God, I pray that we would move forward and go and do what you have called us to do and rely on you to put it all together. So, Father, we thank you for this. We thank you for this message this morning. And that, Lord, that we would go on from here this week to ask, God, what is it that you want to change in my life? And then to ask you why. Why is that so important to you? And that, Lord, we connect those dots and we make the necessary course adjustments in our life. We thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.